being approved, that you will find in trying to remove it, and then doing verses 24 and 25. Psalm 118, reading verses 24 and 25. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. This afternoon we ventured to read the 24th verse. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And just briefly to seek to gather up the truth that we sought to speak of this afternoon. The Lord has been gracious and merciful in this place and in the former chapel that was here now for so many years. And yet, if we have looked a little into the history of this call, we found that the pastor that is mentioned, who held office in this place, was one whose name was Thomas Davis. And this goes back to the year 1829. So that you will see from this that this court has been used to death for about 150 years. And as we meet together today, it is indeed with that desire to recognize what the Lord has done in his mercy and compassion, his goodness. And that brings us here this day. We will seemingly ascribe all honor, praise and glory to the name of our God. But there are those women who have called to look back over the past 4 years especially, when the Lord was pleased to bless and to use his own word to bring about gracious exercise in and among the church and people here. And then as they have proved that the Lord in a most gracious and sovereign way has been pleased to lay in the heart of our dear friend and brother that exercise and concern and love for the flock of God here. We owe them that the Lord has done this. And in the words of Scripture here, we can say, and I know and feel there are others here too who can say concerning this and other matters, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. So that the Lord's voice has been heard. There has been that response. And there has been that God-given exercise. It is so sacred. Oh, how blessed to be favored of God with real exercise. stand on without the known initials and taking advantage of fine weather in our knowledge, in our time, and to know if this word had been fulfilled. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We know that the Almighty and ever-living God has made every act. But there are special days, even mine particularly, in a very marked way of those who are brought to fear God. So we venture to go back to the days of our childhood, the days of our birth, to see whether we have known such days. Days in our life that we completely say with the word here, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we will rejoice. I feel that when all sinners are humble in the dust before the majesty of heaven, before the Lord himself, when they are fittingly brought into the dust of salvation, when they have cause to say, Lord, I am nothing, but thou art all and in all. This is very important. Real sacred joy, real sacred rejoicing, I am persuaded is when souls are brought to the feet of Jesus, when he is all and in all. And as we came to a close, we mention Sunday. We could only speak of a few, but those days in the night, of those whom the Lord in the purpose of grace toward, when he calls them by his grace, not all can look back in a clear, distinct way to the Son of God. But there are those who are changing. Yet with those who do not, who cannot speak in such a clear way of others, they do look back to a time when there was a change wrought in their life, a complete change from how they once were. And that change was brought about through sovereign grace. Their feet were turned to Zion's hill. What a day that is in the night of the foresight. And with those who know it is to be brought under gracious conviction of sin, that is another day of real experience. And if as the Lord is pleased to be gracious, to lead on to instruct, and as the day of deliverance comes, the day of sacred blessing, when Christ is revealed to the heart, the hope of glory, have we had such a day, such days in our lives? I ask you this question this evening: have you known it? What it is to be able to the Lord is mine, and I am his. Then further we spoke of days wherein the Lord blesses, the blessed day that comes to those who are brought to follow Christ in an open procession. What a day this is, when precious souls know something of the exercise of the methods that we read on in the Word of God. They come to a point, and I have to say, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Come therefore, let us go and tell the King's household. They've been into one tent. They've found treasure. They've hidden it. They went into another tent. They found treasure and they've hidden it. And that's just how it is in the lives of those who the Lord blesses until they come to that point. We do not well. They can hold back no longer. They must go and tell what the Lord has done for them. And that is indeed a day of power. And that is what we so need in time of the day. We ever need it, but we do need it still. The thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And when one further speaks of how the Lord brings his servants to stand in the nine walls, what a day it is when the Lord begins to lay the burden of the ministry and the poor, trembling in his heart. And as that exercise is continued, and as it increases, until the day does come when the Lord himself makes the way, and they must go forth upon thine walls. And they can say this is the day which the Lord has come. And in my own yet sacred way, they do rejoice in it. When they find that the Lord has gone before, when they find that there's been gracious exercise into others, and when the day comes, and then there is sacred rejoicing in the hearts of those who must go, and of those who have been burdened for them. And then in closing, he spoke of how the Lord brings his servants to be under shepherds over the flock. The sovereignty of God is seen. And it's very sacred to be given a list of them. And it is made known that the right servant of God is directed to the right place at the right time, and as the Lord himself brings it to pass, lays the exercise in the heart of his people, and then lays the exercise in the heart of his servant, and then as he brings a flock under an under shepherd of death. And when it is fittingly said that this is the Lord's doing, it is marvelous in our lives. It's something so humbling in it to those who are afraid of the night. Now, while we have ended with verse 24, we have felt that we must enter this evening to verse 25. And this is the word of God. And it is fitting together. It is linked to them. And it is something that we do need to look into. But I'm very wondrous when the Lord does bring an under shepherd over flock. And where the Lord is in this, as his love and mercy is made now, to something very special. I have so often looked upon this matter in this way, and it seems like another view. A husband and wife are brought together by the Lord. And as the Lord is pleased to do this in Zion, some very blessing, some very special. And yet at the same time, as the Lord's goodness and mercy is made known, immediately the same. Immediately the same. I would say that rightly in feeling this, having known at least a little of what it is. So here, the sun has been brought to both four stones now. Still with the things of hell, this is taken together. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And yet we have this immediately saved now. I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity, that first of all we have words of warning. And there's so many. Now the Lord help me, be mindful, and yet faithfully receive me. And as a poor man enters into the solemn office of an ambush castle, how he does so many to be preserved. He does so many to be kept. And to be kept as suffering from idolatry. To be kept by the Lord in his right sight. This is so essential. It's something that is so many. So I might not speak a word here in my own little experience. How I particularly felt in knowing that among the cross of Rose Road, something at least of this exercise, how I need that holy mind. And that it may be continuous. God's servants need this as they go forth, and that anointing is made manifest in the heart and experiences of the very soul in God. When the Lord sends an antiquary, it is something that will be felt by those who deserve, by those who listen. They will have that feeling within them, the Lord has sent this man to preach. There will be a measure of divine power that sends to this man. But when one enters into the tradition of the Andes Church, he needs in a particular way I feel that anointing. Now David has it. King David. And in his early life, he must be brought in from the city. Then Samuel was sent by God to Jesse's home to anoint the king. You'll remember what happened. All of Jesse's sons were there that night, didn't he? And as Samuel looked upon the firstborn, he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But what did the Lord have in him look like on the height of his stature? And his countenance is dark. You see, Samuel was deceived in this because he needed that the Holy Spirit to enlighten him and to reveal who was to be the one. And after they all passed in front of him, he had to say, "Are you all my sons?" And yet he had to say this in the substance of it, that there is one more, but he was a king. Then you remember how he came in. The cold into the broken curtain. Well favored. Now this was the time how he came. The Lord said, "Arise, anointed, this is he." Now when the Lord favored a flock with them, they had this proclaimed. That it is the man, it is the one whom they must seek, whom they must ask to be their master. But then further, in the sacred attitude of mind, that they didn't have. I remember so well and still feel my need. It was an invisible record of him who behaved himself wisely and the Lord of him. He the Lord of him. How humble he was in those days. How tender. What a sacred saint he was founded. Then, a year of the years or the time that he was to gospel, you see what grace was given to him. And so, as the Lord anoints his servants to be an undertaker, he will prepare them for that office. He will go before them, and he will be with them as it was with the apostle Paul. Not only what the Lord has done, but in that which I will never be like him. The Lord will lead his servant on, and he will train them, he will instruct them, he will teach them, that they may be able to see the path over which the Lord has taken. And I will say this often, no other means to do that. No other means to do that. And the Lord kind of them. What a wonderful call. And this is so in the marriage relationship in a rising gracious way when husband and wife are brought together and the Lord favors them and blesses them and they feel like there's no one to take their place. There's no one not. They have their titles. They have their expenses. They have the things that they must pass through. Then with the family of the Lord favors them. And so it is in the church of God. And yet there's no one else to take their place until the Lord comes. Now the work to do. So what need there is then of this faith now, how to teach me? So God's dear servant here, he needs the Lord to save him. And that means preserve him to keep him. And help him, and bless him, and save him. It is our sacred right that he may behave himself wisely, and is not faithful to the Lord. We read further on in 30 David, and with deeper sorrow and deeper trouble, he behaves himself more wisely. Then I will say the word. Who does not hear, and I hope that these thoughts will prove to be a word from our hundreds that are attending. But who does not hear? How do we need grace to not behold your pastor? Behold him with God's dear spirit. Do not expect him to be a perfect man. No, you. Ever remember, he will be like Aaron when he comes in the Holy Place. He will put on his own clothes. He will return in his feeling to his own temple. And he will know that he is balanced. So may you be enabled and saved to remember this. It will only be as the Lord helps him. It will only be as the Lord instructs him in such a thing that he will come in your life, and he will find you, and you will be saved. But I must just warn you. Having passed this way and known a little of it, oh, what misery that you could be preserved from making an idol. I am thankfully knowing that the Lord will know how to do it. And when the Lord brings an humble shepherd and a flock together, it will know how to teach the pastor and the sheep in their lifetime. Oh, I'm thankful for it. He knows how to do it. And everyone will have their own comfortable. And then, how we would desire the fulfillment of this word. Say now, I beseech thee, O Lord, Now, the Lord has let heart in this place, and we would have an enlarged heart in this. We know indeed that the days have come. We know that the living days are in there is a departing from the truth is fallen in our streets. And we are at a lower territory in our land. Yet at the same time, we are told, whether in the book of Ezra or in the book of Nehemiah, one or the other, that the walls were built in fabulous times. Telling to me, the Lord, I think that first of all to myself, that how do you mean the Lord to give to us that real gracious exercise for soul? Soul. I think for myself, I do have no soul, would not. And yet we need it. Real exercise for soul. And if the Lord should be gracious here, and if the Lord should be pleased to put forth his hand in this little town of Hancock, that there might be souls plucked out of the fire, that there may yet be those of whom it will be said in this place, is not with the brand plucked out of the fire? And if we have any hope in the goodness and the mercy of God tonight, this is our faith. We have been cut out of the fire. And we can have to confess, what hast thou that thou didst not receive, and who has made us to this? Nothing but sovereign grace or sin of man. I feel this is something we've so withheld in our day. And I would bow before the sovereignty of God in it, for yet one would not be left to alone in it. Oh, that the Lord would pour out upon thine today that real hammer of the soul. How do we really feel? Those of us that have any real hope in the mercy of God, how do we feel concerning the salvation of sin? Is it a concern to us? Do we know what it is to pray before the Lord that he will quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus save me, or I'm not? It does sometimes appear in these solemn days as though we have settled down and almost seemingly prepared to see the flocks in Jesus' soul growing less and less. The flocks in Jesus' soul have grown, I can see. And how we need to be preserved from apathy. And to be given, I know that the Lord alone can get it. Not to be favorable. If we have known anything of this, I wonder how many of us in God's servants, perhaps especially this evening, that you have sat or seen the water, and there have been those who have come to the chapel, and your very soul has gone out for us. And there have been those who have been wanting to come. You may get to see that they are in this part. I've known. And I've known what it is to be in the house of God in the right position to hear whether those footsteps coming into the prayer meeting or coming into the service. And I would say this mercy and humbly, that when the Lord does give this extra time, when there is this time out again, there will be an outcome. Has there not been an outcome in some cases? Have we not called to say this evening that we think of one another, precious souls, whom the Lord has loved in our hearts, whom the Lord has brought in, whom the Lord has brought out that he might bring in? And we can call to say this, that it is the Lord's church, and it is marvelous in our lives. when it is known and when it is being held at all, it has been made us long for more. It has indeed. So how we would desire then that this sacred power of salvation may yet be put forth, if it can be in our God. We are exalted in the Word of God, in the prophecy of Jesus. What does the Lord say? I will yet forbid the inquired of by the hand of Israel to build these things for them, to build them up with men like us, as the Holy God of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, to look for it. As we know that these many empty fields often, how does it affect our hearts? Does it make us calm to the Lord? Does it make us long to be with Him? Say it now. I beseech thee, O Lord, our own salvation it is to be saved from the wrath to come. O Lord, salvation is to be saved from the wrath to come. Who can begin to enter into the wrath to come? I must be faithful to my own soul and to yours this evening, for that day is coming. That great day is coming. And we're told concerning that day, everyone shall see me. Everyone shall see me. And that one day with a certain commander, they suggested this to me, perhaps the Lord would use the television set to do this for myself and how to say this. They will not be needed. And that great day, and I would say it right now, heaven and I shall see them. And in that day, there will be a solemn division between the sheep and the dove. The king himself upon his throne will divide the sheep from the dove. Now, dear friends, we shall all be found there, won't we, before that judgment day. We shall either hear, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world, or we shall hear this, depart from me, be cursed, I never knew you. I do not know how that will affect any of your hearts this evening, but it is solemn truth that they will come. Now our only hope in that time is to be found in Christ, to be found in Him, to be found sheltered beneath His precious blood, to be found clothed in His righteousness, to be found justified in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, to be found without spot and blame. Too long that we may be found among these dear people. Did he exercise to you? Has the Holy Spirit revealed to you that you need it? You may be found standing. And in the beautiful language of one of our hymns, bold shall I stand in that great day, and who, or to, my charge will through thy blood, absolve I am from sending tremendous curse and shame. I remember that I used to stand with Al saying on another occasion. But in that great day, the Lord will look upon the blood. He will look upon the blood. As it was when the destroying angel passed throughout the length and breadth of the land of Egypt, what was it that was the means of salvation? It was the blood sprinkled on the doorpost and on the lintels of the houses. It was there as a token. It was there as a means of salvation. And in that wondrous word, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now that is our only poetry service. No other hand. And it is the very center of real salvation. Oh, we gather then today. We were feeling the echo of these words, praise now. I beseech thee. That means to pray with the Lord. That means to pray earnestly. That means to know what it is to clean and bow at the footstool of mercy and to plead with the Lord. That he would save now. Save now, I beseech thee. Oh Lord, and then this is repeated here. Oh Lord, I beseech thee, send now for Sarah. I beseech thee, send now for Sarah. We're going to bring that response within heart here this evening, something like this. Well, what is the Lord God? What is real, God says? Well, it's centered in Christ. That is where real, God says, it is centered. It's centered in Christ. The great head of the world, the great shepherd is sheep. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that real spiritual prosperity flows from him. And it is centered in him. And it can only come in this life. It will never come with the efforts of man. But it can only come by through the power and influence of the Holy Spirit put forth. But the Lord is saying, he has ordained the word of the minister to the king, that through the foolishness of preaching, he might save them to believe. Now, as the Lord then is pleased to help his servant to preach the word, and to be favored to preach the word with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Now, as the word of God is proclaimed, and as the Holy Spirit's power attends the word, and as that word is carried into the hearts of fortunes, and as the word is left, and as they feed upon the word, they feed upon God, and in feeding upon Christ, this is where the very center of real prosperity lies. Oh Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Oh, how we do desire us, feel the reverse when I believe in your desire is in me. We have this desire for the Lord's servant, who has ventured into the foreign position of an undertaker. And know that there are those here tonight who represent other causes, other thoughts. And yet do we find it echoing in the heart, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Perhaps I I did not have the knowledge to pass for the monster dying and managing it itself and how the Lord on a full hill lives and not birth to the first chapter of the book of Joshua in a very marked way in bringing God's servant and his people here to gender. But if we turn to that chapter now for a moment, we would not approve that the Lord spake to his servant Joshua, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not flee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. From this people shall they divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." And in our day, this will embrace the whole Word of God, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it. And real prosperity will come near to thee. The end day, in which, perhaps, there is disappointment, the gospel ministry has not been blessed that we may have hoped. There is this danger that we turn away from the Word of God and seek to do something to attract people into the house of God. But what we don't need to remember is that it was the only power the Holy Spirit put forth. And that through the Word of God, that there can be in gathering, that there can be real prosperity. So it was the ready counsel given to Joshua, turn not from him, to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Here we have the root of true prosperity. And then he says there, "This sort of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now that measure of success is in the Lord. Are you glad to die before that? Every one of God's servants has a work to do. The Lord will use them in just that way we say today. And then I believe he will give them precious souls. Come and say the Lord now. And let what we know to that any one of us, thinking especially of God's servant, will be able to say in the language of that beautiful hymn composed on the death of Samuel Moses, "If that one soul commandment meets me, that God's right hand, my hand, will be to him in language of God." What a saviour to be given one spirit of God. What a favor to be given spirit of God. I do believe that when we have the Lord give to a certain people a certain task, a greater exercise, prayer, the soul, the act, there is a room for those souls, I believe will be made clear in the house of God. I repeat something that one of my servants mentioned some years ago now in some book. He said this, soul that the Lord is bringing to you into my spirit in the house of God, a soul that is not brought in on the crest of a wave of popularity, but a soul that is brought in through the time. I feel there's nothing nasty deeper in real, blessed, spiritual things. When the Lord first started the precious soul of the living and hunting me, I was really trying to understand in my being the comparatively young one, the married one. He was very fearful as to the thing was. And it was said that he loved her more than all the world of his life. And the son was very, very sad. I was really trying to understand in my being the comparatively young one, the married one. And he was very fearful about visiting her. But it was said that he loved her more than all the world beside. And the son is very, very sad as the Lord gives spiritual children to the Church of God to his servant. There is something special. Something very sacred, something very lovely. And yet, when this is now, this is all centered in Christ. That's where it's centered. So, oh, as the Lord is pleased to grant that measure of power to his servants, and as his word does have free course in his glory, and who can tell what the Lord may yet do with him? And how do I feel? Gracious hope, gracious belief, gracious knowledge that the Lord has been in me. And so now we would commend you. We would use the words of the Apostle Paul by the Spirit. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all that is sanctified. And oh, that the Lord would yet send in time a day of sweet, sacred prosperity. We would be thankful for all that he has done. We would rejoice in what the Lord has done, and to use the language of one of them to be thankful for the present, and then ask for more. Amen.
Before we conclude with a hymn, I feel that I must say a few words, because the Lord's servant has led my mind back over many years, and there are those here present this evening who were children with me in the house of God at Chanelbow College. Now, I had a very lovely grandfather who lived with us. He was a widower, my mother's father. My mother was the youngest daughter. And this grandfather had no one to care for him, and he came into our home. And the most gracious influence that man had in our home was most mild. About that time, my brother and I were attending a Sunday school connected with the General Baptist, a neighbour of ours offered to take us to her Sunday school. She was a teacher there. And I remember after we'd been there for three or four Sundays, we came home and my grandfather inquired what we had been taught. And he said, well, we've been playing the same ambassador. And the grandfather, of course, was most horrified to think that we had been doing this on the Lord's Day. He said that you have 6 days in a week to play with sound and plasticine, and this is the Lord's Day, and you should be hearing something from His Word. Well, the next Lord's Day, we found ourselves in a different place. We had entered into the Sabbath school at Tamworth, and we continued there. This was in the 1930s. We continued. We attended the services and the Sabbath school. We went to the school in the morning and the services, and the school in the afternoon, and sometimes the service in the evening. And this we continued to do. And remember that in 1939 the Second Great War commenced, and when the war had been on about 3 years, I went off to join the Royal Navy, and witnessed many dangers, being engaged in the operations at Normandy, other landings, communications rating of one of the landing craft. And I saw many of my companions swept away. And then you see the fourth eternity entered into one's mind. What if I should be taken, swept away with them? Then it was the one began to cry. I was not left to go into certain things that others did, but I was no better. No better than any of the others. But being preserved through many dangers, coming out of that service, and being in such an exercise of heart and soul, desiring that the word of the Lord be blessed in my soul, and that I might know that salvation which is in Christ. And I remember in the early part of 1947 there was much ice and snow on the ground. I went home to my place in employment, and I went without my tea and made my journey to the house of God, desiring that the Lord would bless me. I remember coming to the gate of the chapel in Tamworth, and I met dear old Mr. Russell there with his broom, and he was clearing the pathway through the snow to the school room where the service was to be held. He said, I was the first one there. He said, make sure you go into the school and it's warm in there, and I'll be in a few moments. He came in and his conversation was most sweet, and Mr. Morris, the servant of God, was years of Christ became in, we read from the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. And just for the text, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Myself, for I was the only one in that place. I and the servant of God were there together to be with you as the instrument in God's hand. There was some 17 years after that when I met him, and I mentioned this to him. And I was so thankful that I did, because I didn't see him anymore. He received his hand. When our friend was speaking this afternoon, and my mind went back over the years from boyhood, and how the Lord has watched over him, and did provide and has provided for me. And when coming home and during the wartime on the leave, we as a family boarded the bus of Croydon, and we were going to Crawley to visit an aunt. Then, when we got to Red Hill, I decided I didn't want to go to Crawley. I wanted to see an aunt that I had who lived in York. And that visit was the means of my meeting my wife. See, the Lord's hand is in all things. The bringing together of two people. And caravans to walk together, except they be afraid. What a mercy that two of them walk together in harmony and agreement. Walk together and talk together and pray together. Worship together. Desiring that Christ might be exalted. Then to speak briefly after this, there was the exercise of baptism. I know when I still approached me and they knew what I had received under the ministry, and questioned me about this and inquired why I was not baptized. But now with the Lord, there is a set time, a time for all things. And there was a waiting time, and during that waiting time, my dear one was so exercised in the matter, so we came together. We were baptized on the same evening. And so that was the day that the Lord had made. And we were glad and rejoicing. And sometime after that, not many years, I was approached by two of the Lord's servants, both pastors, who questioned me about the ministry, asked me if I was exercised to about it. And I asked them to keep the secret. Being not able to, at that time, to go forth, they are the number of poverty, inability, ignorance. And so that went on for a number of years.
by the laying aside of one of God's servants, Mr. Farman of Broughton Branch, who asked me to read a sermon for him one Sabbath morning. Being unwell, he himself being unwell to take a service. I read from the epistle to the Ephesians. And where that word comes in. Redeeming time, because the day is hurried. And reading that chapter, I felt
especially one
without God.